Good morning, Rabotai. We started last week a very interesting and relevant sugya, laying some of the foundations of shailas of benefiting from non-Jews doing malacha for Yidden on Shabbos and Yontif. And just a quick summary of what we came up with in order to move forward. We saw in Reish Ayin Vav the general yisod that if a non-Jew does a malacha deraisa for a Jew, it is usur for that Jew or any other yid to get benefit from that malacha deraisa on Shabbos. And even after Shabbos, they have to wait kedei shayasu. The amount of time it takes or it took for that non-Jew to do the malacha, if altogether the malacha was 45 minutes, then you would only be able to benefit from that malacha 45 minutes after Shabbos. That's true for every yid. However, we saw from Shin Chav Hei that if the malacha that was done for a Jew was a malacha de Rabbanan, so then it's only usur for the person that the non-Jew did the malacha for him and his mishpacha, but for anyone else it would be permissible. You're saying if we're assuming that the light you have is an LED, so we'll say the malacha is a malacha derabanan. It's a malacha derabanan, and it's done for you, so for you and your household, it would be problematic. If someone else comes over, it seems like then it would be mutter. Yes.
Move them elsewhere.
That's what it sounds like. Now, given these two factors, right, we had a couple of interesting examples and applications, halacha l'maisa. You're staying in a hotel for Shabbos. You go downstairs to the lobby on your way out, walking a few blocks away to Daven Shacharis, and you could really use a coffee. And they say in the lobby, a big sign, "We proudly serve Starbucks." There's no place that just generally serves Starbucks. It's only with a sense of real gishmak and pride. So I'm looking at this freshly brewed coffee. Would I be allowed to take a cup for myself in order to reinvigorate and give myself the sense of energy to be able to daven like a mensch? Mutter Osir. It was mamish made Saturday morning. So we said that any malacha that a non-Jew does for a group of people, we go generally based on the majority. If the majority of people there in this hotel are Yidin, so then we would say, unfortunately, you cannot benefit from that coffee, Pashut Pshat. If the majority of people here are not Jews, which is generally the assumption, unless there's like a Shabbaton or something, but if the majority of people there are not Jewish, so then, you could say that the malacha, we assume, is viewed as being done for non-Jews. And I'm allowed to take a cup of coffee in the morning. No problem.
What if a caterer comes and is surprised to do a kiddush, he forgets to make a dish, Shabbos morning?
If the caterer makes the dish Shabbos morning?
Yeah.
Like no, so that's a real problem because then he's doing it on behalf of Jews.
Even though he wants to be, you know, there's a
Christ to make it. Pashup Shad, if he's doing this malacha on behalf of Jews, that would be a real problem. Okay, so then one other factor we did see, similar to what Rav Aaron brought up, is this notion that if the non-Jew is doing a malacha for a Jew, but he's only doing so to rectify a mistake, right? So by accident he turned off your light and now he's turning it back on. So that the Bir Lacha Paskins, that's considered the Tzor Ko. That's as if he's doing it for himself. and that would not be an issue for the Jew to benefit from it. We left off with the Mechaber in Reish Nun Beis. One second. In Reish Nun Beis, the Mechaber said that if you're paying someone for the job, right? He's a koblin, you're not paying him by the hour. In this particular situation, you're paying him to fix an article of clothing. You have a jacket that needs a patch or something. And you bring it in on Wednesday, and he could do it whenever he wants to, and he chooses to do it on Saturday. And being a mensch, he mamish brings it over to your place Saturday morning, and he says, here you go, it's all ready. So you're allowed to benefit from that malacha. What's pshat? So the Mechaber writes, because since you paid for the overall job, and he's choosing to do that malacha on Shabbos, that's really for his own schedule, his own convenience. That would not be problematic. Now the Mishnah Berurah is bothered by the question. Lemaisa, this seems to be in contrast to what we had before in Reish Ayin Vav. We said where the non-Jew turns on the light, assuming it's a malacha deraisa, even if he's being paid as a koblin, this is overall part of his job description, you're not paying him by the hour, you still can't benefit from that light. So it sounds like a contradiction. So the Mishnah Berurah explained that bottom line is when he's doing a malacha for you, in order for you, the Yid, to benefit right here and now, so that's a real problem. That's a real problem because even though he's a koblin, he's doing the malacha for you right now. In contrast to the case of the tailor, it was really all about his own schedule. He had many days to do it. He's not doing it for you to benefit on Shabbos Bedafka. So that's why the Mechaber is more lenient and says you can wear that jacket. The Ramah, though, does come along and says it's not so pashut. Bottom line is better not to wear that article of clothing on Shabbos unless there's a real tzorich. That's where we left off. So this whole discussion up until this point is focused on a non-Jew doing malacha for a Jew or for a group of people. When is it permissible to get benefit and when is it not permissible? And generally it's problematic and you have to wait ad kadei she'yaseh. Okay. Now there's a whole different issue we have to get involved with when it comes to packages. Which is, putting aside any other malacha, if the package is coming from outside the tchum, then we have the question whether or not you're allowed to use this item. So we know generally there's a notion of tchum Shabbos, which means that you're not allowed to travel, you're not allowed to walk 2,000 amos outside. So really it's on Shabbos. Tchum Shabbos is always relevant on Shabbos itself. When I have my mukum shvisa, which means this is the place that I've established for myself from the onset of Shabbos, I'm not allowed to go more than 2,000 amos midirabanan from that place. So living in a normal community, theoretically, you could walk miles and miles and miles, no problem whatsoever, because the entire community is considered your shvisa. So it's only once you get to the outskirts of the city, then we say you have only 2,000 amos from there in all directions. Where this comes up is generally when you're camping. There's no city, right? I just have my little mukum shvisa here, and there's nobody around me for miles away. So then you really have to make a cheshbin, what's considered 2,000 amos? Because 2,000 amos from your little campground is all you have. What's more relevant, though, when it comes to the halacha of tchumin, living in a regular city, is not about you walking that far outside the tchum, but you benefiting from something that was brought to you from outside the tchum. Generally, the halacha is like this. If something was brought to you from outside 2,000 amos, from your makom shvisa, it's not muktza, assuming the item itself is not intrinsically muktza, but there's an iser hishtamshus, which means you're not allowed to use it. Okay. If something was brought from outside the Tichum in a way where there would be no Isser Hishtamshus, let's say it wasn't brought for me, it was brought for my neighbor, right? Like we established, any Malacha Derabbanan is only going to be Usser for the person, the Yid, that the Malacha was done for. So if it wasn't done for me, theoretically, there's no Isser Hishtamshus. I'm allowed to use this thing. But even though I'm allowed to use it, I still can't take it out of Dalet Amos. Because anything that comes from outside the Tchum cannot be brought outside of Dalet Amos. Now, again, that's not such a major restriction because if you're living in a place where there's an Eruv, the entire city is considered conceptually, halachically, your Dalet Amos. Yes, inside your house, even if you're living in a place where there is no Eruv, your entire house would be considered your Dalet Amos. So, obviously, when it comes to accepting or utilizing a delivery that arrives on Shabbos, we have to really factor in this whole issue of Tichum Shabbos. So, there's a Gemara in Beya. Gemara in Beya says as follows, top of page 3. Amar of Papa Hilchasa. Nachri Shehevi Doran Li Yisrael B'Yom Tov. If a non-Jew brings a gift to a Jew on Yontif, Im Yesh Me Oso Hamin B'Mechuber Oser. If, let's say he brings you some mangoes, he's got a massive mango tree, and he just wants to be a good neighbor, bring you some mangoes. If you still have many mangoes that are attached to the tree, so then it would be usher to benefit from these mangoes bechlal. Because maybe he did a malacha. Maybe he did kotzer. He detached the fruit from the tree. Ule'erev nami asurin b'kadei sheyasu. And not only is it usher on Shabbos to eat the mango, all right, you have to wait b'kadei sheyasu after Shabbos. That might only be 5 minutes, right? If he's bringing you 4 mangoes, it took him only a few minutes to take those 4 mangoes off the tree. But that's the halacha, assuming that there's a real assumption that he did malacha to get these mangoes to you. No, we're going to see that it's pretty much the same on Shabbos and Yontif. V'im ein me oso hamin b'mechuber tochat chum. However, if you don't have mangoes at this point in the season still attached to the tree, so there's no concern he did a malacha of kotzer for me, and he's coming from within the Tichum, then mutter. I'm allowed to use the mango. Because what did he do? What kind of malacha? Nothing. Chut l'tchum, if he's coming from outside the Tichum, even though it's may also hamin that it's no longer the season to be mechuber on the tree, so there's no concern he did a real malacha. The only thing he's doing is bringing it from outside the tchum, so then it would be problematic. However, havei bishvil Yisrael zeh mutter li Yisrael acher. Even if he brings it from outside the tchum for this particular Yisrael, it would be mutter for another Jew, like we've seen before, because it's a malacha derabbanan. Malacha derabbanan that a non-Jew does for a yid is only also for that person, but for others it's mutter. So here we have the concept that there could be an Isser to use something when it's brought from outside the Tchum. And the Isser is dafka for you, the person it was brought for. Now, the $64,000 question is, what's the reason for this restriction? So Rashi says, take a look at Rashi right here in the bottom of the Gemara. Kedei shelo yehona memeleches yom tov. In order that you should not get any benefit from a malacha that was done on Yontif. Okay. Meaning the fact is that there was a malacha that took place, either kotzer or even just bringing it from outside the Tichum. And we don't want you to get any benefit from the malacha that was done for you on Yontif. Now here's the big issue. When the Gemara says it's Usser, and it's Usser until the evening, once you wait Kadesh Yasu, if you're living in Chutz La'aretz, where you have a two-day yontiv, does the evening mean the evening of the first night? That as soon as now that you're officially in the second night of yontiv and you wait Kedei Shiyasu, you're allowed to use that item? Or does it mean, even if it arrives on the first day of yontiv, you have to wait till the evening once the second day of yontiv is already over, plus Kedei Shiyasu? So says Rashi, Ule'erev Esurim Kedei Shiyasu, Hola'achar Kein Mutarin, Afilu Le'erev Rishon Nami. Even the first night, meaning to say as soon as the first day of yontiv is over, the package arrives at your house, let's just make it simple, you have a bunch of nice new white shirts that come to your door, yontiv morning. Okay, well it came from outside the tchum, how do I know? Well, I looked online, Erev Yontif, and I saw that right before Yontif, they were still in Chicago. So, Lechora, they came from outside the Tchum on Yontif. So I can't use them on the first day of Yontif, says Rashi, but that evening, which is the beginning of the second day, after Kedei Shiyasu, and again, what's Kedei Shiyasu in this kind of case? Lechora, you could argue, does it mean 5 hours you have to wait, the time it takes the shirts to come from Chicago all the way to your doorstep? Or, more likely, we would say, if whatever's going on from Chicago to Florida, right, they're not just bringing your particular package of four white shirts, you could only buy from one particular store if you're living in the Olam HaYeshiva. Because otherwise, people might notice it's not the regular white shirt that all the yeshiva guys wear. It's the other kind of white shirt. Maskim, right? So we could say, because on that plane, FedEx, UPS, whatever it was, you have hundreds and hundreds of different deliveries, so this malacha is not being done for you. Maybe the malacha that's actually being done for you was the last four blocks that the guy had to drive, so Kedei Shiyasu would mean you wait 15 minutes. But that's Rashi's sheet that he explains. Why is it mutter the night right after the first day is over? He says, Mimanav Shach. Because we know that the whole idea of 2 days of Yontif in Chutz La'aretz, like we see in the beginning in the Gemara in Beya, we view it as a Sveka Diyoma. We view it as we're not 100% sure, even though we are, but we're not 100% sure what's the real day of Yontif, the first day of Yontif or the second day of Yontif. We view it as a real suffix. So says Rashi, if the first day was actually Yontif, so that means the delivery came on Yontif, and you have to wait Kedei Shiyasu. And you're doing that. Okay. If the first day is not really Yontif, so then it came during the week. There's no restriction when anything comes during the week. So then of course I could use it today on Yontif. So no matter how you slice it, says Rashi, because my opinion is the whole reason why you can't benefit from something that came outside the Tchum is because you're not allowed to get Hanah from a Melacha that was done on Shabbos or Yontif. In a case of a two-day Yontif, you'd be allowed to use it B'Kedei Shiyasu, the evening of the second day of Yontif. Does that make sense so far? Okay. Tosfos, though, comes along and says, quotes the Shita of the Ri. He says, I have a hard time believing that the reason you can't use something that was brought from outside the Tchum for you is because Chazal don't want you to benefit from any kind of malacha. Because we find, let's say a Jew, Mamish Yid is Mevashel B'Shabbos B'Shoigeg, right? A non-Jew cooks on Shabbos by accident, Shoigeg, meaning he didn't realize that cooking was one of the 39 malachos, or he didn't know that today was Shabbos. So this is actually a major machlokus, right? The Machaber quotes this at the beginning of Shin Yud Ches. This is a machlokus in the Gemara, a three-way machlokus Tanayim between Rabbi Yehuda, Reb Meir, and Rabbi Yochanan Hasandler. According to Reb Meir, though, when a Jew does a malacha on Shabbos b'shogeg, then you're allowed to benefit from that malacha right away. So asks the Ri, how can Reb Meir possibly say you're allowed to benefit from the malacha just because the Jew did it? Sorry, just because the Jew did it b'shogeg. Chazal don't want you benefiting from malacha. Why should that be any better than a non-Jew doing a malacha? Non-Jew has no iser, no restrictions of Shabbos bichlal. Therefore, says Tosfos, I have a different reason. The reason why I think Chazal said you can't benefit when something's brought for you from outside the tchum is because Eletam, right there in the middle, Shem Yomer Lenochri, that if you're allowed to benefit from something brought for you, that might create a real sense of leniency, and you might ask the Jew, the non-Jew explicitly, and ask him, you know what? Can you please bring it for me? Bring it for me from outside the tchum. You might tell him to do so. And therefore what? We don't want you to be in violation of a mira la'akum. So that's why Chazal said you can't benefit from it. If that's the reason, says Tosfos, even if it's brought for you, these four beautiful yeshivish white shirts are brought the morning of the first day of Yontif, would it make sense to allow you to benefit from those white shirts on the second day of Yontif? It wouldn't make sense. Because if the whole rationale is you might ask the guy to bring it for you, if you're gaining from that, because at least now I can wear it on the second day, you still might ask him to bring it for you on Yontif. So according to Tosfos, it comes out the way he learns the Gemara, that when something's brought to you on Yontif, it's only mutter le'erev b'kidei sheyasu. Le'erev means after the second night of Yontif, meaning after Yontif is totally over, you have to wait k'dei sheyasu. So we have here something so beautiful, so magnificent, so moving. A machlokus Rashi and Tosfos as to what the reason behind the Isser is, and based on this machlokus, we have a real nafka mina lahalacha. According to Rashi, you could benefit from it mamish that night after the first day, and lefi Tosfos, you have to wait till Yontif's totally over.
Tosfos is saying what he's saying because the case itself is talking about that you're afraid that the guy pulled a fruit off a tree, right? And therefore, you could ask him. You might ask him on Yontif to pull the fruit off the tree instead.
So I want to clarify. Really, there are two cases here, right? One is where we're assuming he pulled the fruit off the tree, and you're benefiting from the malacha of kotzer. But the other case is, even if we're assuming that the fruit was already taken off the tree a few days before Yontif, as long as he brings it from outside the tchum, it's going to be problematic, right?
And so then what's the shot? So you're going to ask him to bring it from outside the tchum?
Yes.
Go and get it and bring it to you?
Exactly. Meaning that you're bringing me your mangoes from outside the tchum. And I know they were probably picked, you know, a few days ago. And I say, wow, these look incredible. Do me a favor. Can you bring some more? Or before Pesach, I might ask him, you know, thank you so much for what you brought to us on Sukkot. Do you mind bringing us some more before, or not before, but on Pesach?
So is there a shash by, let's say, a delivery, if you draw an analogy, like what you'll stop the Amazon driver on Shabbos, ask him to go to the depot and pick up the package for you?
Ah, so this is a good question. As we make the application to Amazon ship might be a little bit different, but Amazon and other things like that, not so simple you can make the application. But at least this is where the machlokus is regarding benefiting from something brought to you from outside the tchum. Okay, so how does the Shulchan Aruch paskin in this machlokus between Rashi and Tosfos? So take a look at number 6. This is the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Tav Kof Tes Vav, very beginning of this Simen, that deals with the issue of tchumen. Goy shehevi darun liYisrael biyom tov. A non-Jew that brings a gift to a Jew on Yontif im yesh miminu b'mechuber. Oh, shemechuser tzeda. If the assumption is that he actually took this fruit from the tree, or he trapped the animal, the fish, whatever, on Yontif, so then it's usur for you to use it. Aflami shalohuva bishvilo. Even for others, that the malacha was not done for you, because any malacha d'oraisa done for a Jew is usur for all Jews. Okay? Says the Mechaber Feider, v'afilu l'taltalan usur, even to move this item, assuming that the malacha was done, would be usur. Why is it usur to move it? Why is it muktza? Because we view it as nolad, right? The fruit was attached to the tree from the onset of yontif. If that fruit comes off the tree, even if it just falls off the tree and there's no malacha done whatsoever, that fruit is muktza. So I can't use it and I can't even move it. And in the evening, though, it would be mutter. Ubishne yomim tovim shel galios im huva biyom rishon mutter miyad belel yom tov sheni b'kedesh yasu. If you're living outside of Eretz Yisrael, you have 2 days of yontif, and it was brought for you on the first day of yontif, it would be mutter immediately after the first day of yontif is over, once you wait kedesh yasu. So the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber, is he paskening like Rashi or Tosfos?
Rashi.
He's paskening like Rashi. Okay. Comes along the Ramah.
How would he hold on Rosh Hashanah?
Rosh Hashanah would be different. Yoyim Arichta. Yes. Comes along the Ramah. Ve'yesh machmirim lo osro ad motze yom tov sheni. Some are machmir to say you can't use it until yontiv is mamish over. Like the Shita of Tosfos. V'noagin lahachmir im einu tzorich yom tov. Basically, the Ramah comes out saying, we're knowing to be machmir like the Shita of Tosfos, unless there's a real tzorich yontov. But we have here an incredible machlokis, Rashi and Tosfos, that's now being transferred to a machlokis, machaber Ramah. Mechaber is paskening like Rashi, and generally Tosfos seems to be paskening like, the Ramah seems to be paskening like Tosfos l'chumro, unless there's a real tzorich. However, when you go a little bit further in this exact same simon, you'll find something fascinating. Siftes. What does Siftes say? Up until now, the case of the Gemara and the case of the Shulchan Aruch was the non-Jew brings over a gift for his neighbor. Siftes is Yisroel sheshiger doron lechavero. You have a Jew that wants to send a gift over to his friend, another Jew. Al yidei goy me'erev yom tov. And he wants to send it through a non-Jew, and he does so from before yontif. V'nis akev hagoy. But he got delayed, right? There was a lot of traffic, something happened, he got delayed, and he ended up not coming in to the Tichum until Yontif, right? So Reuven sends this whole beautiful package from, what's that fancy place? Well, they have chocolates and nuts. What's that? Oh, nuts, yes. Halaga Od Nuts. You could only buy shirts from that particular guy, and you could only send a gift from Od Nuts. These are some of the unspoken rules within the Olam HaTorah. Right? So, you have a Jew that's sending this as a gift, and he's using a non-Jewish delivery person, or even a non-Jewish neighbor, to bring the gift to you in your city. He gets delayed, and he doesn't come into your tichum until after the onset of yontif. Okay, so now I'm the guy receiving this beautiful gift from Od Nuts. And all the kids are there at the door and they see this massive platter, right? All the different types of chocolates and candy and nuts. We say the sticker on the back, mamash $145, you know? Oyum v'noira, simchas yontif, simchas yontif. So, obviously, they're all clamoring. We want to be able to use this for tonight's Suda, for dessert, right? We'll eat protein and everything. You just tell us what we have to do. We want to use it tonight. So, based on what we've learned up until now, what would you paskin? So, if your name is Rashi, you wouldn't be sitting at my shir right now, right? If your name is Rashi, what would you paskin? You would say, well, the Maisid came on Yontif. You can't have it tonight. You could have it tomorrow night, B'Kadesh Yasu. And if your name is Tosfos, the Re, you would say, sorry guys, have to wait until after Yontif is over, B'Kadesh Yasu. And the Mechaber, we already established paskins like like Rashi. So l'chor the mechaber should say, it's only going to be mutter after the first day of Yontif is over, b'kadesh yasu. What does he actually paskin? Mutter. Mamish mutter, right there and then. Why? You can mamish eat it before the Suda if you wanted to. Like we said, even when there's no restriction on using something that came from outside the Tchum, you can't move it outside of its Dalet Amos.
This is because of this Akiv HaGoy. No.
Well, he's saying there was no Isser done because the Jew didn't tell him to travel outside the Tchum on Shabbos. Yes. And this is going to be very relevant in our final session, Mitzvah Hashem, next week on this subject about ordering a package to arrive on Shabbos. Yes. But here, Lemaisa came from outside the Tchum, and it came for you. You're allowed to use it, mamish, right here and now. You just can't move it outside of its Dalet Amos, which again, like the Mechaber points out, if you're in a city, Mukefis Choma, where you have a wall or you have an Eruv, that means you can mamish take it throughout the entire city. Okay. So what's the rationale here? Why is this case more lenient? It was sent by a Jew. That somehow is more lenient than the case where a non-Jew just decides on his own to send me a gift. Why would that be more lenient?
Because you're never going to come to ask the Jews to do it before you
know it. Ah. Captain, oh captain. Yes. Take a look at the Magen Avraham. Sheharei ein akum mevi mishelo kedei shenigzer shem yomer haveli. Magen Avraham says, quoting from the Beis Yosef, and this really comes from the Tshuva HaRashba, that if the whole concern is you might ask the non-Jew once he brings you mangoes, hey, these are delicious, can you bring me some more? Well, he's not doing it on his own. He's only a messenger of the Jew. And obviously there's no concern I'm going to ask the Jew to do an Isser for me. He would never do an Isser for me.
But then why is the case Nisabi? You just say that it could have been an hour into Rashi, an hour into Shabbos. The Jew told the guy, go bring it to him. And there's no zero that I'm going to ask the guy to do it again.
So that's an insightful question. I'm looking for something even more insightful, though.
Huh?
Oh, Rabbi Yitzchak nailed the kasha, right? You hear that, Rabbi Yisrael? You hear the kasha? The question is like this. The Magen Avraham saying, the whole reason why you can't benefit from something that came outside the Tchum, I'm just getting choked up. This is so beautiful. So beautiful. The whole reason you can't benefit is because you might ask the non-Jew to do it again. And you're going to be in violation of Amira L'Nachri. Says Rav Yitzchak, what, 1 second. Whose rationale was that? Was that the Svar of Rashi or the Svar of Tosfos? That was the Svar of Tosfos. But the Mechaber we saw from Sif Aleph, Paskins like Rashi. That it's not about, I'm concerned that I might ask you to do this malacha. It's all about you can't get any hana from malacha that was done on Shabbos or Yontif. I'm getting a bunch of blank stares. Is that not a brilliant question? No? Right? Meaning the Magen Avraham saying, the reason why when the Jew sends it through a non-Jew and it comes to me, even though it comes mamish into my tichum on Shabbos, there's no restriction for me to use it is because I'm never going to ask this non-Jew to do it for me. It's not his thing. He's just the messenger. But if the Mechaber Paskins like Rashi, the whole issue is you can't benefit from any malacha done by a non-Jew, period. Right? So what's emerging from this conversation is that it's possible. And some of the, even the Rishonim say this, maybe even in the world of Rashi, where the whole problem of using something that came from outside the Tchum is that we don't want you benefiting from Malacha, you still need the reason of Tosfos. it has to be a case where at least it's possible that you also might ask him to do the malacha for you. If it's a situation where it doesn't make any sense, you would ask this person to do the malacha for you because he's not doing it on his own accord, he's just the messenger, then maybe even Rashi would agree there was never this issur of benefiting from malacha done for you, legabe tchum. Right? Meaning, obviously, everyone agrees if a non-Jew cooks something for you on Shabbos, that's a problem. But at least regarding the idea of benefiting from something that came outside the tchum, where you could argue there's nothing that changed in this item itself. It was brought from outside 2,000 amos, which is an issur derabanan. Maybe even Rashi would say that restriction only applies. That restriction only applies when at least the concern of asking him to do it for you again is relevant. If this is true, let's just make an application here to receiving a delivery on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Okay? I get the package. Let's think of a different example. Something besides O Nuts and besides white yeshivish shirts. What's another? What's that? Books. Svarim. Svarim. Oh. Svarim arrive at my door Shabbos morning or the beginning of Yontif. Okay. And oh, I've been looking forward to this Sefer for so long. I want to read this Sefer. So am I allowed to benefit from this? So first of all, you have to ask the question, was it brought from outside the Tchum? Let's assume, yes, it was. Right? You know it's brought from outside the Tchum. And we actually, Paskin, let's say you're not sure. You're not one of those guys that like checks exactly where the package is. You know those guys, right? I'm not one of those guys. I don't even know how to do it. I don't know. A tracking number. I don't even take the tracking number. I assume it's going to come. I'm okay. Right? So I have no clue. We generally assume that even a suffix that something came outside the tachum for you on Shabbos or Yontif, we're machmer not to use it, unless it's a real tzorech mitzvah. The white shirt might be tzorech mitzvah, but that's how we say. Even if you're mesupik, we say better not to use it. So I have this package of svarim that came to my house, and I really want to open it and read the svarim, and we haven't got to the shail of opening the package yet. Let's assume it's not really in a package, they just were delivered onto my my front step. So right away, I see my svarim munach bebizoyo, they're mamish there on the floor, on the ground. Am I allowed to move them to at least put them on a bench and bring them inside, or are they muktza? They're not muktza whatsoever. They're not muktza. I'm not talking about that yet. I want to just focus on tchum, right? Let's assume there's an Erev, yes. Right? Why are they not mukta? Because we said anything that comes from outside the tchum, if the item is not intrinsically mukta, it's not mukta. The only question is, can I use it? Okay?
It also wasn't prepared beforehand. So this is a new
Nayla. So if it was mamish printed on Shabbos, you know, then you would have the question of Nolad. And that actually happens to be a question when you have the newspaper, right? But these svarim, we assume they were printed years ago in Yerushalayim, and they've been sitting in Eichler's for the last, 8 months. Okay. So they were definitely here in the world. So they're not mukts. I could definitely pick them up from the ground and put them inside in a nice place. Can I utilize them? Can I put the shirts on? So, is there any concern that you might ask the UPS driver, thank you so much. You know what? Can you bring some more of those svarim? Right? I actually have the first two volumes already. This is like, I heard there's now volume 4. Can you bring me the volume 4 when you have a chance? What? Right? So there's no issue that you might ask him to bring more for you. It's not his thing. He's just the shliach. And we saw from the Mechaber that when someone, the non-Jew, is just the shliach, and this whole concern doesn't apply, so then you're allowed to use it right here and now. That's incredible, right? That's mamish incredible. You could also argue, there's a Rebbe Kiva Eger that says, when the Jew is sending a non-Jew to bring it for you, so we say that when it comes to Tichum, which is a Malacha Derabbanan, the only person who can't use it is the person that the Malacha was done for, right? When this non-Jewish messenger, say non-Jewish messenger three times fast, right? When this non-Jewish shliach is bringing the package, who is he doing the malacha for? Is he doing the malacha for you?
For his paycheck.
I would say better than that. He's doing the malacha really for the guy that sent him, right? Right? He's the neighbor of the mishaleach, of the guy who wants to send you the platter of onuts. So you could even argue, okay, he's coming from outside the tchum, and that's problematic. And there's an iser to use something that comes from outside the tchum. Who's that iser on? It's on the person that the non-Jew did the malacha for. He did that for the sender, not the recipient. They say it like that, right? So according to Rabbi Akiva Eger, there would be another reason to be very makel. It comes outside the tchum, so first of all, we could argue there's no concern I might ask him to bring more. So the whole premise of the Isser Hishtamshus doesn't apply. And you could also argue, even if it would apply, he's not doing it for me, the recipient, he's doing it for the guy sending it, or in the case of UPS or FedEx, he's doing it because that's his route. That's what he was instructed to do. He's not doing it for me. Right, even though you ordered. Now again, next week is going to be the grand finale. Can you order it to come on Shabbos? That's going to be that discussion.
Let's talk about when it shows up on Shabbos.
Exactly, it shows up on Shabbos. I didn't realize it was coming on Shabbos. It said it should be there between the next 3 and 5 days, but whatever. Okay. The only issue is, we're gonna conclude momentarily, so if you're getting antsy, we're almost done. We're almost done. The only issue would be like this. There's more malacha happening here than just coming from outside the tchum. Meaning like this. We right now have two svaras. We have a svara that there's no concern you're going to ask him to bring more. And we have a second svara of Rabbi Akiva Eger that he's not really doing it for you, he's doing it for the guy sending him. Well, it's for sure not mukta, because even if it comes outside the tchum, there's no muktzah issue. I just can't use it potentially. So I want to focus though on the second reason, the one from Rabbi Akiva Eger, that when it comes to tchum, it's only usher for the guy who it was brought for. Okay, that's nice when you're only looking at the isser of tchum, but there are other isurim taking place here that are mamish malacha deraisa. Namely, he's not just walking from outside the tchum, he's driving. There's real malacha deraisa happening to get my package to me from Chicago.
But that's not my problem. That's just the ease of the guy who's allowed to do anything he wants.
Oh, so this is an interesting idea here. You could argue, maybe it's not really considered malacha for me. I'm fine. If you wanted to just hold up, you know, the package of 10... volumes of Shulchan Aruch and walk 8.5 miles to my house, I would offer you a nice cold glass of water, but I'm okay. However it gets here, I'm okay. Why are you driving? It makes it easier for you. Okay, it's your malach. It's hard to know how far that goes. You know, when realistically speaking, the only way it's going to get here is through malacha. It could be that's considered malacha done for me. But I think here's a very important insight. It comes out like this, that maybe you'll argue there is malacha deraisa happening. Okay? So according to Rabbi Akiva Eger, that would no longer be a valid reason that I could use the package. Because Rabbi Akiva Eger is saying something unique to a malacha derabbanan, that it's only us or for the person the non-Jew does the malacha for, and we view it that he's doing the malacha for the guy sending him. But once you bring in malacha deraisa, that whole Rabbi Akiva Eger approach wouldn't be helpful for me. Because a malacha deraisa done for one Jew is also for all Jews. Right? One for all and all for one. However, the svar of the Magen Avraham still might be helpful. The Magid of Ram says, as long as the guy that's bringing it to you, whatever malacha he's doing, what's happening here? He's doing malacha for you. And the reason why tichum is aser is because you might ask him to do it more, and that's not relevant. But if he's doing real malacha deraisa for you, so that's not just about you might ask him to do more malacha deraisa. That seems to be more intrinsic, that you can't benefit from a non-Jew doing malacha for you.
What's the malacha deraisa? The driving?
The driving.
But that's where the more base svara comes in. Depending on how you view the delivery process, that's why you're upset. Intrinsically, it's not for me, because this guy doesn't know who I am.
So that's really where we land over here, right? There's a tshuva of the Chelkis Yaakov. We're going to jump to page 5. There's a tshuva of the Chelkis Yaakov where he basically says, the main reason why I feel it would be okay to use something that was brought to you on Shabbos or Yontif, and to use it even that same day without waiting, is because we don't view it as any malacha or any iser of coming outside. The tichum was done for you. Because we mentioned, the way every package, every delivery comes to you, there's a lot of malacha happening, but it's not just for you. The same way, if you board a boat on Monday or Tuesday, are you allowed to stay on that boat through Shabbos? You are, right? What do you mean? But you have the non-Jew who's doing malacha. He's the captain of the boat. He's doing malacha for me. Answer is, it's not really for me. How about Costa Rica? Right? So even Costa Rica, you still have a very small minority of Jews, and the vast majority of people on that ship, you could assume, are non-Jews. The same way, theoretically, Ramosha has a tshuva on this. I'm getting onto a bus on Shabbos. The door opens, assuming you don't have to pay anything, right? Or getting onto a train. Now there, we definitely don't do that l'chadchila. Not the best way to schedule your Shabbos routine, because you have other issues of uvda d'chol and the lack of oneg Shabbos and the movement itself. There are many other issues there. Marasayin, don't do it if you don't have to. But regarding Amir La'akum, it's not a problem because he's driving the bus for a whole group of people, and the majority of those people are non-Jewish, assuming you live outside of Eretz Yisrael. Yes, it would change. It would change. But let's just talk about Boca for now. Yes. It might change depending on where you live. But the Chelkis Yaakov concludes by saying, if Lemaisa of the package is brought to you on Shabbos or Yontif, because we view it that it's not done for you, it's being done for a group of people, and this delivery guy is just driving his route, and whoever flew the plane from Chicago is just doing his thing for many, many people, and the majority of them are non-Jewish, there would be no iser of benefiting from malacha that was done for a yid, even if it's malacha deraisa, it wasn't done for a yid. And there would be no issue of coming from outside the tchum, because there's no concern, I'm going to ask you to do more of this. You're just the shliach. What's that? Oh, don't even continue that sentence. We'll get there. That's Maisis Shabbos. I want to just end off with the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, okay? Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa number 11. Chavila Shehuva B'chutz La'aretz B'Shabbos Ayadei Adoar. All right, the package was brought outside of Eretz Yisrael to your home on Shabbos through the mail service. If it's down the regular mail, you should say a bracha b'shechionu. V'lo mipnei shasholeach hikpig shachavila timaser b'Shabbos. Not because the guy sending you the package or you yourself or makba that it comes on Shabbos. It's down, but it happens to come on Shabbos. Mutter lehonos min adevarim sheba gambo b'yom. You'd be allowed to benefit from those items, assuming they're not muktzah, even right then and there. Afilu huva michutz l'tchum. Even if they were brought from outside the tichum, or they were brought from a place where there's no eruv, Afila Rishus Harabim Gemura, even if their mom is driving down Ocean Parkway, right? Rishus Harabim Deraisa, you're allowed to benefit. The reason says the Ha'ora here at the very bottom of Ayin Aleph, Mibnei Shekan Lohevi Over Yehudi. It's not really being brought for a Jew. Ela Mibnei Sheosa Hadovar Es Avodoso Lohavi Lachol Echad Bein Yehudi Bein Goy Es Chabilosa. He's bringing it for the rabbim, Jew or non-Jew, it makes no difference. That's why you'd be allowed to benefit from this. We're going to have to call it here. Based on everything we've established, it sounds like, if you didn't order it to come a Dafka and Shabbos, and it arrives on Shabbos or Yontif, use it right away, no problem. The only issue would be if it happens to come in a package. If it happens to come in a package, then you have the question, am I allowed to open that package?
I'm taking it from your doorstep.
So here's the thing. If the answer is I can't open that package, then likely we would say that itself could make it muktza. And the only way I'd be allowed to move that package inside is tiltil begufo, kicking it in, right?
What if it's all nuts?
Meaning that it's not in a package or it's...
No, but it's food.
Oh.
Yeah, but it's sealed in a box.
So for this, we're not going to go into all the makaros. We'll just say halacha lemaisa, because we got to end the shir. Halacha lemaisa is like this. If it's in a package, so we paskin generally, if it's a food item that's needed litzorech Shabbos or Yontif, or even according to many poskim, if it's not a food item, but it's really viewed as a tzorech Shabbos or Yontif, you'd be allowed to open the package in a way that's just destroying it. So you're not creating any kind of Pesach, you're not making a kli. We view the package more as like a shell covering the food item. Just like you're allowed to peel off an orange, you're allowed to open the package if it's a real tzarech Shabbos. So halacha lemaisa, what's coming out from here is, if the package that arrives to your door on Shabbos or Yontif is something that you really feel is a tzarech for Shabbos or Yontif, how do you define that? That needs some level of honesty and some level of hashara. But if that's my hachra, this is considered a tzarech Shabbos Yontif, then you would be allowed to open it in a destructive way and use that item on Shabbos Yontif. If it's something that, honestly speaking, we really don't need this right now, so then there wouldn't be a heter to open the package, in which case likely that package would be considered muktza. And the only way to get that into your house would be to do so tiltil begufo. Yes, we paskin like the Chofetz Chaim keneged the Chazidish on this. Tiltil begufo. Having a wonderful day, everybody.